If you wouldn't get your Bible, you turn with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 5. 1 Chronicles chapter 5. And we're going to start, the Lord willing, you can start in about verse number 18. But I want to draw, the Lord willing, the thought out of the last two verses. 25 and 26. But you need to go back and read this entire chapter to find out, of course, this is talking about the lineage of the different tribes, the children of Israel. And a lot of time to read through that, but we don't seem to get too much out of it. But there's a lot in there to be learned. Now, I know very little of it, but some things that I've seen is very, very wonderful and good. Helps us to have an understanding, a better understanding of the entire Word of God itself. I said you've got to have a telescopic view before you get down in type of microscopic. And my telescopic view is so shallow, I'm not even beginning to even start to have any type of a great understanding concerning microscopic view, that is verse by verse and line upon line, precept upon precept. I've seen a little, but it's got to be very little compared to what it is to be learned and to know. For if you look in chapter 5, you'll see that he's speaking about the tribe of the children of Reuben, and he makes mention of Joseph, of course, and of Judah. And then he's talking about his descendants, his heritage, his people that were come after him, that is the tribe of Reuben. And Reuben was one of the tribes that settled on the east side of the Jordan River. There were 2.5 tribes over there, and I want to make a few points and show you a few things related to what we know to be in man's history books as well as in God's Bible. You can put it down to be a fact, not fictional, in the Bible, the Word of God. It's recorded in here and here for our benefit, and we're blessed to have it. And of course, I run all my thinking and thoughts and knowing for sure about what was and is and has taken place according to the Word of God, not what somebody said in some type of a history book or some type of theologian or whatever such they may have thought they had found and try to piece things together. It's already been put together right here in the Bible. So you can depend on it, but you'll find in here about the tribe of Reuben in verse number 18 and the Gadites and the tribe of Manasseh. Talks about when they went over and they made war and they called on God and trusted in God and they defeated a lot of people, took over the land, and of course beat them down and overcame them. As long as they trusted in God at that time, God gave them victory. So then you find out as they transgress in verse number 25, let's look at that, and they trespassed against the God of their fathers, went a whore after the God of the people land, whom God had destroyed before them. They done the same thing these people had done before them, and they were partakers of it and fell down before it, and they become abominable and stink unto God's nostrils. So God, after much long suffering and many years, this didn't happen just all at once, to find out just what I want to show you this morning. You can put in perspective order and the order that should be about the different Assyrian kings. The kingdom of Assyria was a great big kingdom, tremendous in size, and reigned and ruled for quite some period of time. It was one of the, I guess, of course, as far as the Bible is concerned, one of the first greatest kingdoms that existed was the Assyrian kingdom. Now, they had conquered, you'll find as you read the Bible, how they conquered Syria, all these other lands, and conquered the northern portion of Israel, and over in, of course, the Medes, and down in Babylon, they took all that over, and different places. You can read and look on there and study in the Bible. You'll find out it was a tremendous sized kingdom. And they ruled for quite some period of time, the Assyrian kingdom. And then you'll find that after the Assyrian kingdom came up the kingdom of Babylon. Babylon is of great importance because it had to do in depth with, of course, the kingdom of Judah. And that pertained to a lot of Bible. And that's when they were carried into Babylonian captivity. But they come and conquered and subdued, and the Assyrian kingdom fell down. The Babylonian kingdom took over the Assyrian kingdom. Yet it didn't take up the kingdom of the Medes. Medes and the Persians later on made up, of course, the Persian Empire. That was after that time. But you look over, you'll find out there's a lot of scripture, and it's all in order in here laid out for you. It's a matter of God's children to give you some understanding. But in here, if you look in here, they transgressed God's word, went a whore after all the abominable things and ungodly things, and the God of Israel stirred up the spirit of Pul, king of Assyria, and the spirit of Tilgath-Pilneser, king of Assyria, and he carried to carry them away, even the Reubenites, Gadites, Hashab, and Esau, and brought them unto Hera, and the river Gozan of the state. These are cities here, rivers here, of course, in the land of the kingdom of Syria itself. So you find it's also in, I try to run a reference to find it, but it's not in hardly any biblical math that day, so I found one place, but then I read over a little bit further the Word of God, where all these were in the kingdom of Assyria. So these places made mention here, some's the rivers, some cities, they carried them away into their own land, and then of course they brought them out of there because of their great sin. God permitted them to do these particular things to them, use them as a tool to carry them away because of the great sin they committed. Now this first king, Paul, he was the first one that was in power that makes mention of. He was the one responsible for carrying away these 2.5 tribes on the east side of Jordan. This happened first. This was the first one to be carried away after God had brought them in there, the land, gave them the land. Well, it wasn't the land of Canaan, but it was the land that God gave unto them because they desired it. It was a good land, a land, and they were, of course, cattlemen, and they knew how to raise herds and things of that nature, and this was a good land for that. And when they defeated these people, they took all their cattle and everything they had and added to what they had. So, great place for them to live, a great environment. God blessed them and gave them that and told them, as long as you'll go with all you men of war over to the rest of your brethren, like if you have, of course, conquered the land, you'll have to do that. They made a vow that they would, and so they did, and they came back and they were enjoying the fruit of the labor. But then, of course, always, when anybody gets sort of lax and lean concerning doing the will of God, starts prospering a little bit in the flesh just can't stand prosperity, they begin to fall away from God and fall down before all the heathen, idols, abomination, all that they had, and God tolerated quite a period of time. You can read about the period of time, how long he tolerated. It's in Scripture. You'll have to read over, study over it. You'll have to find out when this particular happening took place. And you can see about that in time together as we look in the book of the Chronicles, the Chronicles of the King, also in the book of Kings. It's in there and it tells you about it. And then names the different Syrian kings who were in power. It was this Paul, and of course there was Tilgath-Pileser, and there were several others that reigned in there, of course, during that particular time. You remember it was Sennacherib during the time of Hezekiah. That was later in time. And of course, after him, it makes mention of, think of no more as far as kings in particular in that particular era of time. If you look over in some of the places, I'm going to turn to them first of all in the Second Kings, if you would. Turn over there with me and we'll show you what I'm talking about. And as you read these kind of things, it gives you some understanding. I'm hoping God will take me right to the Scriptures. Let's look in, if you would, chapter number 16, Second Kings chapter number 16. Find out some things in here. This has to do, the reason we know that this was later in time, and of course, toward the end of the closing of the Northern Kingdom. They went out first. You look in chapter, even more, all the way back into chapter 15, if you would. Let's look back over in chapter 15, and you'll see about those days when this particular king was reigning. In the days of Pekah, king of Israel, came Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, and took these different places. You'll see about that in Gilead. And this is later on. You see, it's the he came in after they, of course, carried away the children on the east side of the Jordan River. He came in during these days and took away the northern portion of the kingdom of Israel. If you look at these particular places he makes mention of, these are places up there, and you get one thing that you're familiar with, and that's Naphtali and Galilee. And that was the northern portion. He came in and conquered them and took them away. And then you find out later on, he came in at a time when Hoshea the son of Edom was king over the northern kingdom. He came down and conquered that land as well. That is, these different kings. And you can see that the changes, of course, they reigned and ruled for a period of time. You'll find out that they died and other kings took over. And that's how you find out about them. But you look in the time of Ahaz, there's also this Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria. You can see that who that it was. And he came and captured and captivated. And of course, he made a deal with him and offered up some silver and some things of that nature because Syria was also an adversary of Israel. And they were coming to take him and overthrow him, as well as the kingdom of king of the north and the kingdom of Israel and Syria. They agreed together to come and try to kill him and do away with him. So he, of course, sent things in a letter to the king of Assyria. He come down and stop what was going on. But there's a lot to be said on that. I won't get it, but I want to show you a few things in here, if you will. If you look from place to place and go back and run a little reference for yourself and study in this, if you would, please, you'll find there's a lot of wonderful reading in here. 17th chapter tells us about some things that's interesting. Ahaz, of course, was a wicked king. It said the 12th year of Ahaz, king of Judah, began Hoshea, the son of Elah, to reign in Samaria over Israel 9 years. And he was the one, of course, against him came up, look in verse 3, Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, and Hoshea became his servant and gave him presents. And the king of Assyria found conspiracy in Hoshea, for he had sent messengers to the king of Egypt, brought no presents to the king of Assyria. And he had done, as he had done year by year, therefore the king of Assyria shut him up and bound him in prison. And the king of Assyria came up throughout all the land and went up to Samaria and besieged it 3 years. The 9th year of Hoshea, king of Assyria, Hoshea, the king of Assyria, took Samaria, carried Israel away into Assyria, placed them in Habor, the river Gozan, in the city of the Medes. You see, they were conquered and already conquered all the city of the Medes. It was a great empire. They conquered, of course, eventually all the land down there, but they never suffered to take over Judah, Jerusalem. God didn't permit that to be so. They began to get less and less empowered. This is the time when the Babylonian kingdom raised up, and of course, Egypt had liberated themselves from them. No doubt they had made war back and forth. You read when we bring on the Babylonian Empire, they came in and came into power. And of course, years later, quite a few years later, after the northern kingdom had been destroyed, then Nebuchadnezzar came with his forces, army several times, and finally, according to the word of God, he burned it, destroyed it, devoured it, and took them away captive into Babylon. And of course, they hanged the harp upon the willows. After 70 long years, it was over in Babylonian captivity. That's when you have the power of these Chaldeans, the Chaldeans that came over, the king of Babylon, and conquered the land and overtook. You have the Babylonian king, after the kingdom of Assyria. Assyria was a great kingdom, a big kingdom, a vast kingdom. You can see where its borders was through some biblical maps and the study over it. Look over there, it'll show you what a great influence they were. God used them to get the attention of the people, the children of Israel. They were very rebellious, but you'll find out this Hoshea, the son of Elah, it was in the ninth year that he came in, and of course eventually he took over the kingdom and carried them away in the ninth year, verse 6, carried them away into Assyria, placed him also in the foreign land. I told you that's when they brought in these people, these Gentile people, into the land of Israel, and they was in that land, and that's the reason later on, even when Israel, that is, excuse me, Judah, was carried away into captivity, and they came back, then all the adversaries in the land of Israel, and that's where they came from. They were still in that land, and they were enemies to them. They didn't want them to come restore the real house of God again, but God had decreed it, ordained it, prophesied about it through Isaiah, that a man would come, and even named him the great king, King Cyrus, named his surname before he was ever born, and said what he would do. God put it in his heart, and soon he got into power. That's the first thing he made a proclamation. Go back and send him out of a willing heart. Go back, and he couldn't help but to say that. God had already ordained it, and said it would be so. It was so, and he made that decree, and of course, Zerubbabel, the chief prince of Judah, went back, heading up the expedition, went back himself, and he was the governor of the land, and they had, of course, the chief priest went along with him. They began to build and labor, and they had the problem of all the people there that wanted to be done, but God blessed them, and of course, they raised it up and built it up. And then we have coming in there, the other two, we talk about those, about the Nehemiah, the building of the walls, the restoration, the city, the streets, and all those kind of places, and fortifying it. He was over there for a certain amount of time, fulfilling some things, too, concerning the book of Daniel. But if you look in here, you'll find out in here, you'll see that this was carried away after the children of Israel. First of all, the 2.5 tribes, you see that by Paul. He was before this other king, and then this other king that's the one that actually carried him away. And then after that, he came in a short period of time and took out the northern kingdom. And then after that, there was the other heathen kings from Assyria. You'll find out about them when they made their boast during the time of Hezekiah. You'll see Ahaz, of course, was a wicked king, and he died, and they buried him. And then, of course, he came up, had his son to come up. After that time, you'll find out when things happened was Hezekiah. Hezekiah was a good king, and we have problems with, of course, Sennacherib. He was the next Assyrian king. He comes up, he makes his boasts, and God said, don't pay any attention to him. He slew all the rest of his kingdom, all right, but he's blasphemed me. Don't you worry about that. There's not going to be an arrow, not going to be a man, not going to be out here to lay siege, nor take hold of the city. And so he was caught, suffered, and God killed 180,000 of them, I believe, during the night, 185,000, maybe one or two. And slew them. They went back. Of course, when he went back, he was worshiping the house of God. His own vows, two of his own boys killed them. And of course, he never had the opportunity to do what he said he was going to do. He made his boast. He made the bad boast. He blasphemed the God of heaven. And so, God, this was the time when you found that Hezekiah also was during this time, the time of Isaiah the prophet. And you see, he was the man of the hour, the man of the hedge, stood in the gap and made up the hedge. It was Isaiah the prophet. You see that it ties in with the scriptures. Find out what period of time, what took place, some of the things that were going on during this time. So help you, if you read it in your study, you learn a lot of things. Look in 2 Kings chapter number 18, if you would. You need to read all that yourself, and you'll see in verse 13, in the 14th year of King Hezekiah, that Sennacherib, king of Assyria, come up against all the fenced cities of Judah, and took them. The fenced cities, now he took them. He laid siege against Jerusalem, and made his boast there, and that was a mistake. It's a terrible mistake. He made a lot of mistakes before. That was his final mistake that he made. But he sent up his captain, the leaders, the captain of the host, and they came to blaspheme. Messengers came to blaspheme and instill fear in the people. And they put fear in them, all right. But Hezekiah knew what to do. too. He went to prayer. Went to prayer before God and poured out his complaint before God. And of course Isaiah was there too and gave him encouragement. Said, don't worry about it. What God had to say about it. God sent a message. And of course Hezekiah believed it and came to pass. And he didn't lay a lara nor anything unto that. You can read about it. A lot of good study. And I hope you'll read this, as I said, for yourself. You'll get a lot out of it if you'll pay close attention in here as you read. Now you look in chapter number 19. You can find out about this king of Ethiopia come out to fight against him. And Ethiopians, it mentioned sometimes in different places where they came up to make war. The Ethiopians did, as well as the Egyptians. You'll find out that these people a lot of time were adversaries. Israel had a lot of adversaries, and they brought it upon themselves. The Bible said when a man's way pleased God, even his peace, even his enemy made to be at peace with him. You got problem with every sign, that's a good sign. You got problem within yourself. But everything that you do seems like going haywire or having trouble out of it, calling you act like a fool and an idiot, and everything you encounter is not right, and that's a positive sign there's something wrong with your life. You need to straighten out your life. And so God's trying to get your attention and get you to look about and see what's going on and really assess what's going on so you can make a good determination about what your problem is, get to the root of your problem. So they never did. They had adversaries out of the Philistines. They should have drove them all out, and that was cities that give all the little countries that was given to Judah. That was part of their heritage, but they didn't get in there, didn't get it. Moab, Edom, all the different ones, the children of Ammon, the Ammonites, all the different ones that continued to live in the land, the Canaanites, the Jebusites, all the different people, as well as Assyria, all these other kingdoms, eventually Babylon, because they brought them things upon themselves. If you'll read also, when they were obedient to God, God gave them great victory. They had peace and tranquility. Now, David was a man of war, but the hand of God was on David. He defeated. That's when the kingdom was at its greatest, at its best, when he had conquered all of those lands. God gave him victory. He was a man after God's own heart. So the kingdom exercised its full boundaries. You read about that as he stretched it all with what God had promised him, up and north, all the way down to the south, the little river of Egypt. That's in the Sinai Desert down there. It's not Egypt itself. That's a little river down there to the Mediterranean Sea, and of course to the river Jordan, of course the 2.5 tribes. It tells about down to the Salt Sea and all the way up there to the places. You can see up to Lebanon. It tells about the boys that goes across. And David exercised all that, conquered all that. During the reign of David and, of course, Solomon himself, he enjoyed David's, victories God gave him. And the land was blessed. He'd have peace for quite a bit of the period of time until he acted like a fool in his old age. He began to fall down himself before the idols, before made the main place of worship. All these heathens there even set up places of abomination in the city of Jerusalem itself. What an abomination. But it cost him. He died. Of course, his son, I believe, died in sin. The next king to come up and sit on the throne was rebellious. And I don't believe he was saved. I can't find any reason why I believe he was saved. I find reason why I believe he wasn't saved. Because his action, his attitude to the old man, he should have received instruction. He had them young men were full of the demons of hell itself. He himself evidently was. And they shunned it and told him, we're going to make it worse than my daddy was. You think he was right. You think he was bad. Well, you see what I'm going to do to you. And so they rebelled and went away from him. And Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which was going to have the 10th kingdom, prophet Ahijah had already told him, and said he rent his new garment, said 10th, you and 2 will be left, of course 1 will be left, but there was actually 2, Benjamin joined up with Judah, and said there will be 2 left because of the promise I made unto David. God's going to fulfill that promise and already has in Jesus, but he'll sit one day on the throne of David, fulfilling all scripture concerning his deity, and who he is, the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Messiah, the Savior, will sit on the throne of David, rule this world in the millennial reign. What a wonderful time it'll be. But I'd like you to look in chapter 19, you can find out about this carrying on to this Sennacherib, king of Syria, how they made his boasts and things that transpired and took place. I told you also, Hezekiah had this sickness. He just about sinned unto death. And he was going to die. God said, this sin is unto death. You've got an opportunity here to straighten it up. And of course, he took that opportunity. Set his face to the wall, his back to the world. He wept sore. He would have got broken contrite. He went before God with prayer and supplication and genuine repentance. He wasn't just sorry that sin had caught up with him. He was sorry that he sinned against God. He called on God and asked God to have mercy on him. Isaiah went back in the court. God came back, told him to put on a lump of figs. And for the boil there, the boil had got so much corruption in it that it all consumed by his whole body. He was about to die. But God reversed that, changed that, added 50 more years to his life after that time. So you can read in here when it said, he was the 14th year of his reign. That lets you know it was the same for the time because he reigned 29 years. So that was the time when he was having a problem and he was suffering that king to come down, but he sought God because he got remorse, got repentant. And you'll see that Hezekiah, the king, was sick unto death in chapter number 20. And it mentioned the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came unto him, said to house and all else, shall thou not live. He turned his face to the wall, prayed to the Lord, saying, I beseech you, Lord, remember how I walked full in truth with a perfect heart, have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And like Jehovah said, he got remorse, he got repentance. I mean, he was broken, contrite. And then when he was going out in the middle of the courtyard, it said that God told Hezekiah to go back, Isaiah to go back, and said, I've seen your tears, I've heard your prayer, I'm going to hear you, I'm going to add unto you your days 15 years. Verse 6, I've lived this day in this city out of the hand of the king of Syria. I'll defend this city for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. And Isaiah took a lump of fig and took it and laid upon the boil and recovered. As the God said unto Isaiah, what shall be the sign of the Lord? Heal me, thou shalt the house of the Lord the third day. Isaiah said, This sign shall have of the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing that he has spoken. Shall the sun shadow go down, or shall it go forward 10 degrees or go backward 10 degrees? Hezekiah answered, the light thing is for the shadow to go down 10 degrees, nay, but let the shadow return back 10 degrees. Now Isaiah the prophet cried to the Lord and brought the shadow 10 degrees backwards, by which it had gone down in the dial of Ahab. So they had a sundial. You see that sometime on movies. Or the Egyptians had, that's how they kept time. The sundial, the sun hit it at a certain time of the day, so they keep up with what time it was. And so they had a sundial, and the sundial was made to go backwards. God said, stop the earth, rotation of the earth. He done it on three different occasions. When he stopped it and changed it, reversed it, then went forward 10, and he went back about a whole part of the day when they were battling. You remember, Joshua was leading the armies down there, and Moses, some people, I believe I'm out of this order, when he was up there, and of course, they were battling, and God held it up for just about a whole day's time to defeat their adversary, the enemy. God stopped the rotation of the earth. Can you imagine that? Well, he did. He stopped it and then stopped it from rotating just about a whole day. And then you'll see in this occasion two other times that he stopped the rotation of the earth or advanced the rotation of earth to bring back the sundial that had been taken away during this time. It makes mention of that in another scripture. You can read about that for yourself. Hope that you will. Now, you'll see Manasseh was 12 years old. He was very, very wicked. You talk about abominable, sinful, shameful, ungodly. And all this wicked, abominable and ungodly way, wicked as he was, this man got saved. He had to go into captivity. That's when he was carried into Babylon. Over there, and in Babylon, he finally come to himself. He put him in fetters and chains. He got broke, he got repentant, he got remorse, and of course God hurt him. He didn't deserve it, none of us do, but God had mercy upon him, and God brought him back and restored him and put away his sins. You can read about that occasion in chapter number 21, 2 Kings. I want you to read that yourself, if you would, please. Study that. You can see about the long suffering, the sovereign mercy of God. And of course, he died, buried him, and then you see about Amon, his son. He came, he only reigned for a short period of time. Amon was a wicked king. You can read about him, how he reigned for just a short period of time. Now that he died, and they buried him. And then you'll see about Josiah, his son. He was the last of the good kings. Chapter number 22. Josiah was the last, he was only 8 years old. Boy, he would have said, they had a little revival when he was become king. At 16, he started doing all kinds of things, restoration and building, and other different types of things, and the word of God was found, the priest brought it out, they read it, he feared it, it made him tremble, made him get down in fear, that is of God. He began to carry out all the things he felt like needed to be done. You read about how God blessed him, how God used him, and then he was a little bit older. He wasn't that old, but he got a little bit older. He meddled in God's business. Now, I don't know why he did that. Evidently, something wasn't right with him. He would have heard the voice of God. We got to draw between the lines here and study about that and see why he made that bad decision. Well, he did. His king out of Egypt was going up to make war. You can read about him. That's in Chronicles, also in Kings, about this war and who this Pharaoh was at this particular period of time. You read about him as he went up and he went to make war. And you'll see about what happened to him and told him to go back. He didn't go back, so he slew him there. And it comes, got him, carried him down and buried him. And then we have others of his sons that come up to reign. They were all evil from that time forward. The rest of those that did reign had short periods of reign. It was two of them had 11 years each. But they were brothers. But the one before them and the one between them, the son of Jehoiakim, his name was Eliakim, his son only reigned a short time. He's carried into Babylonian captivity. But this first son of Josiah, he only reigned a certain time. You'll see that the influence of the Egyptians was over, had power over Israel at that time, that is the southern kingdom. They had warred, and of course, probably when he killed Josiah, he come and took over authority. It's what happened to him, and he put place his son up there. You can see about him, Jehoahaz. Also, I believe he referred to as known by another name. We read about his name in the Chronicles. You'll see about that. Jehoahaz was 23 years old. You can see what happened to him. And he was set up for just a short period of time. And he was taken away. The people made him king of the land. And then Pharaoh came and took him away and set up Eliakim. That's verse 34. And of course changed his name to Jehoiakim and made him the king there. And he was there for quite a while. It was time the reign of Jehoiakim to the time when the kingdom of Babylon come into power. You can read about that, study over there if you will. Some of you Bible readers, listen to me real closely. So I can't understand nothing you're saying. That's because you're not paying any attention. You need to pay attention and listen. You can't expect to get it all. There's so much I don't know, that don't know, that don't know. I feel like I'm a totally ignorant, stupid. And I know that, but I have a little understanding. And I wouldn't have had that if I hadn't paid attention. You got to pay attention to what's being, some folks, less I don't know how to pay attention. Probably some of you don't. I'm sure that you don't because you've lost your attention span. It's just about that long. You can't pay attention to nothing. Your mind's so captivated, captured by demons, you can't pay attention. But if you got any mind left at all, pay attention. Listen to what's being said. Jehoiakim, he, of course, gave this different thing to Pharaoh and all the different monies. And he was reigning and ruling for a certain period of time. And then, chapter 24, if you look at that first verse. In his day, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up, and Jehoiakim became his servant. But here they returned to rebel against him. And then, of course, he sent these different ones in there, the band of Chaldeans, the Syrians, the band of Moabites, the Chilamon, and they're coming to destroy Judah. Now, see, he'd already captured those countries. That's the reason he sent them in there. He sent all those forces in there along with his forces, and he come in there at that particular period of time. And after a while, he made a peace treaty with him and agreed to let him reign if he paid tribute, acting like he had a little sense. Well, he didn't. So he rebelled against him, so he came and he took him away in the 11th year of his reign. And then, of course, his son came in. He only reigned for about 3 months. One said 3 months, 10 days. The exact 3 months, 10 days, other just give you 3 months. It's not contradicted. Others adding 10 days. One didn't say it wasn't sufficient. You one count 3 months, 3 months, 10 days. Come and he carried him away. And then, of course, after that time, he had his brother. That is the brother of Jehoiakim, not the son of Jehoiakim, but the brother of Jehoiakim was Zedekiah. And, of course, he also had a son named Zedekiah, but it wasn't his son, it was his brother. It says that in Scripture. Zedekiah, come in, he reigned 11 years. But he reigned for a while, and that's when the time the prophet Jeremiah comes in. This is later on now, not the time of Hezekiah and Isaiah. That's over with. You can read about that. Jeremiah came in the time of the Babylonian kingdom. You can read about that, study that, and you'll see that he preached and prophesied and told them about what was coming to pass, and finally it did after many, many years, and they were carried away into Babylonian captivity. He prophesied about 70 years. But you're getting into this, you're studying here. It's right in here. I didn't even know that chapter 24, verse 8. You can see about what happened, what takes place about the king of Egypt. Let's see, let's read verse 7. The king of Egypt came again in Moab the land, where the king of Babylon taken from the river of Egypt and the river Euphrates, all pertained to the king of Egypt. They see, the king of Egypt had stretched out and taken that when they made war for Carchemish. He warred up, and that's where that Josiah was going out to meddle in the Lord's business. He said, this is speaking the mouth of God. You better, this don't pertain to you. You go back where you belong. Don't come out here. And he did anyhow, so he killed him, slew him, and they went up and they warred, and he had to, king of Egypt was a pretty powerful nation, was quite for a number of years. They had quite a bit of men of war, and they had a pretty good sized kingdom themselves, that is, over Egypt, their strength to make war. You'll find they made war with different ones on different periods of time. But here they taken it over, and when they did, when Nebuchadnezzar came up, he took everything away from them. And then notice again the river of Egypt. That means all of Israel, the promised land of Israel. That's what they're talking about, not down in Egypt this time. At this time, he hadn't came and he hadn't defeated the Egyptian kingdom, he took it under his power, but he didn't later on. That's when you have those three that made up the Babylonian kingdom over there. You can read about that. It talks about the three, you know, that comes in Daniel's prophecy. And yet that you can parallel, I believe, along with that. But there was Lydia, the king of Lydia, king of Egypt, and the king of Babylon. This was under the influence of the power of the kingdom of Babylon. And in this particular period of time, he drove him out, and he took over the things that pertain to that and other places all around there about at that time. But he had come down into Egypt and took Egypt over. You remember that's where the children of Israel, after Jerusalem had been destroyed and burnt, carried into Babylon captivity, them were saved there. They left certain ones to take care of the land, to pull the land, left a governor there, and he was killed, left a captain of the host, scattered in the force of the field. They came, they asked Jeremiah advice, said, "You're a liar. If you give it to them, y'all ain't told. You ain't no but a liar. That's all you've ever been to us." Well, that was fools. They went down to Egypt. Jeremiah went along with them. He prophesied what was going to happen to them. And then the kingdom of Egypt, of the Babylon, came and took over Egypt and come under his domain, under power, just like the rest of the countries did. So that's all in order. I was trying to lay out a an order where you can understand what time when you read, what time these events taking place. And I'm trying to show you by scripture here and by the kings that were in kingdom of Syria during the Syrian power of kingdom of Syria, great kingdom. Actually, it was bigger than the kingdom of Babylon. It's this reach, it's outreach. I won't say it was stronger, but it reached further out and greater rule over more land and more territory than the kingdom of Babylon did. But then the kingdom of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, when he came into power, he subdued and conquered these different things. Conquered the Assyrian Empire. He took over Nineveh, which was the main city of the kingdom of Syria. Took all that over. And he didn't take over the Medes over in there. That was the next power to come up after the kingdom of Babylon, the Mede and Persian Empire. They were still in pretty good power, but they hadn't come up. The Medes also were the first ones of the Mede and Persian Empire to be up in power. They were in strength first. And then Persia came up, and Cyrus the Great, whom God raised up, he became king over all the Mede and the Persian Empire. He came power over all of that, defeated and conquered all those lands. Of course, God put in his heart to restore and rebuild the Jerusalem, and of course, the temple there back again in Jerusalem itself. And so they did during that time. The Mede and the Persian Empire, they rebuild, restored those things that need to be restored. You read about that, of course, in Daniel. He's talking about his 70 weeks, which is very deep. But in him, looking at it, if you will, you'll find out that Jehoiakim was a servant, and then he rebelled, and of course, he took him away, and Jehoiakim, Jeconiah, is the self-same person. When you read in there, you just call him from place, Jehoiakim. Excuse me. That's the self-same person. You can identify him by looking to who his daddy was and how old he was. It's very simple. He's just known by different names, by different writers, and they all represent the self-same person. That happens a lot of times in here when you find that they had more than one name that they were noted by. And you can see about even in the New Testament about Peter and some of those other disciples there. You're reading about them over in there. You think that, as I said, I believe there's three sets of brothers. Among the 12 itself, a possible four. I believe it was three. I believe I can prove, show you the scripture. There was three sets of brothers in there of the 12 original disciples, or possibly four. I don't know about four, but three of them. Also, I was telling about the name one in there. One of those also, Salome. That was the sister of the brothers of Jesus. You can read about that, and I can show you in scripture. What made, she's always there. It identifies her not as the mother of Jesus, but the mother of Joseph and the mother of Judah, a different thing, and then mother of Salome. And that's you look over and you see who her sons were, and it tells that one daughter, says sisters, that one daughter, you can find out in that it's talking about her, along with Mary Magdalene, her and Mary, the mother of Jesus. They were there very early too. So when you read that, you can study over that and find out that it's, that gives you some insight. If you've got to study all the scriptures, of course, God's got to give you some insight in this, so you agree to all you want to, not have any, spiritually given must be, you know, I thought about that when I left here, I think it's Wednesday night. A spiritually given must be spiritually discerned, and you've got to be inspired by the Spirit of God. You've got to search the Scriptures. You've got to really compare spiritual things with spiritual things. And God's got to give you that insight and that understanding. You can read all you want, if you don't give it, you haven't got anything. If you look in here, you'll find out, it tells about when Nebuchadnezzar came in chapter 25, laid siege against the city that is under Zedekiah here, and how that he reigned, and you can read about him, and let me show you here. Let's look at verse 17 in chapter 24, if you would please. You'll see about what happened to his brother. And the king of Babylon made Mattaniah, his father's brother, king, and said, and changed his name to Zedekiah. There's two names right there. You see what I'm talking about? Mattaniah. Now, change his name to Zedekiah. And Zedekiah, evidently, must have been a Babylonian name. Must have been a Chaldean name. So he named him that, so I take it that it was. You remember Daniel had different names. Mishael, Azariah, Hananiah and Daniel. Their name was changed to Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. Daniel's name was changed to Belshazzar. Belshazzar. And he had a similar name to one of the grandsons of Nebuchadnezzar. But nevertheless, they had different names. And so you find out here we're in here, maybe, probably, Eliakim changed it. Jehoiakim must have been Egyptian. I don't know that. I'm just drawing a conclusion. If he changed his name, evidently changed it to an Egyptian name, it evidently meant the same thing as Eliakim, and he changed it to Jehoiakim. I don't know, but that's just food for thought. I'm thinking about it. I'm no scholar, but I'm trying to compare spiritual things with spiritual. God gets me up. If you look in there, you'll find out that he was his brother. That's what I said in there. Of course, he had a son also, right? Reading in lineage, you find out, if I'm not mistaken, that Jehoiakim had a son named Zedekiah as well, but it wasn't the Zedekiah that reigned. It was his brother Zedekiah. So maybe he named his son after his brother. Zedekiah probably did. If you read and you look over now, you're going to get confused. Like in the Chronicles of the Levites and the priests, you'll find out that they had the same names. I mean, all the way down, back and forth, and daddy and son. So, and you'll say, my God, how'd they get this spirit? Well, it's not them. It's descendants. Read close, back up and start at the beginning of it. Read it again, read it a little closer, and see what era of time it is. You'll see it's just that they favored his name. They wanted to have the names of their forefathers, the one that were that lived and ruled and reigned before them in their places of portions of service that they rendered before the Lord. So you can look in that in there. Hope that you will. You'll see when the Zedekiah got up and when he was besieged and when he was overtaken, and of course he was had his eyes put out, his sons killed before his eyes in Hamath up in Riblah. Now that's a place way up north. That's the borderlines, I believe, of what God promised, if I'm not mistaken, to Israel on the northern borders up in the Hamath, up in that area. You can find that. Of course, he carried him up. That's where the king was waiting. He sent the captain of his whole Nebuchadnezzar down there and all his forces. The men of war went down and knew what God purposed and gave them to carry out and to do. And they did. When he brought him up there, he killed his boys before his eyes. All those who were teaching rebellion and those priests and all the different ones, the keepers of the wall and the door and all the different type of people, he took them up first and killed them there because of all the rebellion they taught against the word of God. God had them killed. And you can see about the things that God brought to pass, just like he said that he would. But if you look also over in 2 Chronicles, you'll find some things. It's maybe a little bit more sometime that'll help you have a little bit more insight as to where God put it in here, a little bit more inspiration, give us a little bit more understanding about certain events, places, and times, the things that transpired and took place, and it's all wonderful reading. I hope that you'll study over in that. Now you see, as I said, you can look over in here and put in perspective what period of time that it was in Bible history when these cities were taken away, who was taken away first. All you got to do is look and see what the kings were. Do you know that it's the latter time of the kings when these things started transpiring and taking place? The earlier kings and all that reigned, Saul and David, Solomon, Rehoboam, and Abijah, and all the different ones right on down in the Judah king, and Jeroboam, and his sons after him, and all those different ones, they'd already reigned. You get way on over, you get down to the last stage, the last two kings, and that's when you find that the kingdom of Syria come up in great power, and they'd conquered and subdued during that time. It tells you, of course, about what period of time, but they, this is all, of course, the B.C. before Christ came, and it comes on down, and you're going in reverse. You're going like 800, 700, 600, 500, 400, it's coming this way with your time, down to the time when Christ came, before Christ. Afterwards, of course, mean A.D. means the year of our Lord. And I'll get it out in just a minute. God bring it to my, I'll get it out in a minute. Now, it's in there. God had to bring it out. And I don't try just to pull it out just to impress somebody. If I did, I'm in trouble. I don't do that. I don't intend to do that. I'm not trying to impress you. I'm trying to help you. And God give it, and I'm teaching it. And, of course, he's got people teaching truth. But anyhow, that's certain meaning. It doesn't. I thought it meant after death all the years. No, it doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that at all. Domino, I'll get it out in a minute. But it means the year of our Lord. That's when he was born. And so that time, that's why we have A.D. and B.C. All right. You look in here, you'll find out in this that in here, you'll find out chapter 28 about Ahaz. You'll read some of the self-same things that you read about over in the book of 2 Kings. And you'll notice that this was the latter portion, as it said, the kingdom of Judah and the kingdom of Israel. They'd all been a division and split. These were Judean kings. Ahaz was a wicked king, although he was a king over Judah. You can see about that. You'll have to look in here. It's very important that you read and you'll find it and you can identify him, how old he was, how long he reigned, where he reigned from. And you see all these different kind of things, and whether he was done right or whether he's done evil, whether he's wicked, whether he was saved. That's all you'd have taken in the first verse of Scripture is when it starts talking about these different kings come into power. And you'll see again in verse 20, you'll see this Tilgath-Pilneser, king of Assyria, came to distress him. God strengthened him, but he strengthened him not. You read about some of the things that happened during this particular period of time, and read over that, study over that, and you get further over onto the Hezekiah. And you see about the different kings of Syria that came in and taken place. I told you, you can run reference and go back past this, back over these different kings in here and find out some makes mention of some of these kings, that the Syrian kings that we talked about that ruled and reigned and makes some of them, mention some of them were in power. And then after their time, you'll find out that Babylon rose up in power and around 140 years after the time of the Judean kingdom when it fell. I believe I'm right. I have to run reference now and be sure. You find out those amount of years by studying. See how long it was reigneth king, how long he reigned, so on and so forth, and look over, you can count them up, you come up with a number. Now that's not going to be down to the very year, because they reigned like David. He reigned 40 years and 6 months, but it credited me 40 years. And so others had that if it wasn't a complete year, they only called it like it was, how old are you? You're 40. I'm almost 41. Yep, you're still 40. You don't say I'm 40, 49 months. You do that when you're babies. Identify how many months they are because of you, young born. But if you're old, you don't say I'm 41. You're not 41, you're 40. So I'm saying you have to add in there, and when you're tallying it up, you'll have to add some months in there, and it could be a few years variation, but it's right around, I believe, 140 years. But you can study over it, look over it, it'll be, if you'd understand, the more understanding you have, the more the Word of God will mean to you, the better you can rightly divide the Word of truth. But I want you to study over that, if you will, please, and you'll see about Sennacherib, chapter 32, about him making his boast, and about what happened and transpired, and about Manasseh, when Hezekiah slept, and how wicked he was. He reigned 55 long, horrible years. 55 years he reigned. How wicked that he was, and what happened to him, and how he was carried away in verse 11. I'd like you to look at that, and bound him in fetters. And look at verse 12, when he was, it wasn't in Kings, it's in Chronicles. When he was afflicted, when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God, and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers, prayed to him, and he was entreated of him, heard his supplication, brought him again to Jerusalem, his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. He got saved. And then after he built the wall without the seed of David, tell what he done there and what he raised up and how he built up the city and took away the strength of God, the eyes of the house of the Lord, and all the altars built the mount the house of the Lord, and Jerusalem cast him out of the city. Apparently all see this is a man who's got a new heart, a new nature. Here's what he done. And of course he didn't clean out everything. He left some of the things sacrificed in the high place, yet the Lord yet unto the Lord their God only. But he worshiped the Lord God, and then the rest of the act of lessons, the prayers of God to the seer, and the word of the seer that spake to him in the name of the Lord God of Israel. Though they're written in the book of the kings of Israel, his prayer also how God was entreated of him all the sins and trespasses, the place where he built high place, set up groves and graven images, for he was humble, and therefore they're written among the sayings of the seers. A seer means a prophet. In the old days they called seers. That's all scripture, that's also scripture, that's how I know we're called prophets. That's not something I found what somebody said, it's what God said. In the old time it said the seers were called prophets, that's who they were, prophets. Manasseh slept. And Amon was come in and took over, he was wicked, 2 years he died. Of course, after him, you'll find that the last of the reign in Judean kings was Josiah, great king, young king. And he rose up, and God got a hold of his heart. He gave his heart to him, and he became a great king. But he died doing something foolish when he went out before Pharaoh. Pharaoh warned him, he didn't take heed. And then we have the fall of the Judean kingdom of the four ones that were yet to reign, and that was just a short space of time. They didn't reign that long. And of course, also, you see Jeremiah. See, you can read, that's why it's important to see that. And then the Josiah, you read about the prophecy came, the word of God came to him during those days in the 13th year of his reign, King Josiah. And him and Josiah were good friends. They were very good friends. And he loved Josiah, and Josiah loved him. And Jeremiah was a great help to him. He prophesied in peace about a lot of things. It started, the word of God came to him then. And as he died, of course, he was lamented. He had great lamentation over his death. Jeremiah did. Great lamentation, a man of great compassion. And he wept over his death, and then he had the other kings that come up, and he was there to, as a witness, and as one that stood in the gap, and made up the heads like Isaiah was, but Isaiah was there before him in the time of Hezekiah and others too. You can read about who they were, kings during his time. So it helps you to understand what's taking place and who it is that you're reading about. So I try to want to share a little bit of that with you this morning. God bring it out and hope you'll have a better understanding. So I'll read the rest of this, be important. If you read it, Jehoahaz, chapter 36, and the room of Josiah, it tells about how long he reigned, what happened. Echo came and took him away, took up Joachim and made him, then Jehoiachin, verse 9, Jehoiachin to Zedekiah, the destruction, and then Babylon, the king of Babylon, and then, of course, he took over, and then it tells you about what happened there during that time in verse 22, the first year of Cyrus. And, of course, you can read about what he did, King Cyrus, Cyrus the Great, Ezra, he takes over and starts in that very particular verse. That's the reason I said I believe, I don't know this, that Ezra the scribe, or Ezra the law of God, finished out the last of this book of the Chronicles of the King. May have more to say to do this, the last portion of it. It was written by, and it tells you about who it was written by, different ones. It's in there for you. It tells you about some of these men of gold, these prophets, Gad and some of these others, and Nathan. I wrote some of these scriptures in here. And so it tells you about that. They were prophets. They were there. They know what took place, and God inspired them. And some of the scribes, too. That Barak, he was a scribe with Jeremiah. He penned down things. Jeremiah told him what to write. He wrote down things. that Jeremiah told them to write concerning the Word of God. And they were preserved and kept, and they put some of these things, the word of God is of old, as they knew it then, as it had been preserved, they put it in the house of God. That's when they found it, certain things in there. You remember, I believe Hilkiah, the scribe, went in there, lived during the reign of Josiah, and said, look what I found. And he read it for him, and his heart was crushed and broken, put fear in him. Boy, he began to straighten out, God dealt with his heart. So it takes the Word of God to get you straightened out. You shun that, you deny that, you ain't got a hope. You turn it up and you're in trouble. Man's not living by bread on, by word of seed out of the mouth, but I suggest you pay attention. Be like old, what's his name, Ross Perot. And of course he had big ears, but he said, I'm all ears. And he wanted to hear. That's what he was saying. And that's what you need. You gotta want to do. You gotta want to hear. You gotta want to pray. Prayer's gotta want to be made. I'm not talking about this, like the old, I really want to hear, but when it comes time to hear, you let everything in the world get before you from hearing. When it comes time to pray, you let everything in the world get before you from coming to pray. You don't really want to pray. You don't really want to hear. You just said you did. I mean, your desire to do that is so shallow, it don't even take a flood. It don't even take a strong wind. All it takes is some type of vanity, there's some type of foolish garbage that floods your mind and go out and be a partaker of. Right away you run off and you've got no prayer, no study, no dedication, no separation, no service. No wonder you look like a spiritual anemic and you're drying up and you're going to wind up perishing and, of course, being a failure when you face him at the judgment seat of Christ. All right, I'm going to quit. I'll be the Lord finish with me. Anybody got a question, a comment, anything in your heart you'd like to say or share? If you do, feel free to think special. Study the Word of God and help you. Anybody got anything on your heart you want to say or share?